It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Go to the St. John chapter 10 and start reading from verse 1. 8 to 10.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber.
Now, this is what the violence is all about. Thief and robber, they do violence. They are not going through the door. They wanted to go through the jumping from the fence or some other way. So, this is what's happening when Jesus Christ came. Okay. Read the verse 8.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Jesus Christ was saying to these people, some people violently trying to go to the kingdom of God, they are not going to make it, because they are thieves and robbers. I am the gate, I am the door, go through me. And he says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and more abundant lives. So he is trying to say, to go to kingdom of God peacefully through Jesus Christ. Those sheep, they don't make any problem to anybody. They say they hear the voice of the shepherd. And they go wherever the shepherd goes, and he leads them to the right place. And so he says there are people doing violence. Okay, let's read the Matthew chapter 11, verse 13.
For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come.
Now again he's saying, all the prophets prophesied everything until the John the Baptist. They prophesied about Jesus Christ coming. And even though they prophesied about John the Baptist coming, but they did not say John. They start thinking Elias is coming. Go back again to Malachi and chapter 4 and start reading from verse 4 to 6. This prophecy also half of the fulfilled and half of is not fulfilled. Malachi chapter 4, start from verse 4 to 6.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
See here, two different ways. First two verses, if you read, it says that showing about the tribulation period. The bad days and worst days are coming. But the verse 6, John the Baptist did, preached, and the young people got saved, the old people got saved, and their heart were turned to God. And the similar thing is going to happen when Elijah comes. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 1, 10 to 17. Here the angel of the Lord is saying to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, what kind of your son will be.
For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
See, here we see Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Exactly, the angel is recording. He says that he will be coming like the spirit and power of Elijah. Not like a bodily form Elijah, but what kind of spirit Elijah had. Means he was very strong-minded. He could call the fire and kill the people, and he was not afraid of king or anybody, and he was preaching to other people. So the Elijah came in the spirit in the John the Baptist, and he will be doing the same. he will preach the repentance, and the young people will get saved, and the old people will get saved, and there will be some kind of revival when he preaches, and people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But the Malachi story, half is done and half is going to do in the time of tribulation. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15.
He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now, what he's trying to say, whatever I'm trying to teach you, if you have the ears, do you hear? Now, somebody says, everybody has the ears, but everybody hears. But hearing means obeying. If I can tell you to do something and you don't do it, you heard it, then I'll say you didn't hear it. I mean, hearing means doing it. So he is trying to say, if you have the ears, God has given you ears to hear, that means what I'm saying, put it in a practice. And that's what he is trying to say. Verse 16.
But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children.
Now, this scripture also is a little bit complicated to understand. He said, I'm going to give an example. And he gives an example. He says, just think the young people, they were sitting in the marketplace, and they had a musical band, and they start singing the good music so the people could dance. And they played the music, nobody clapped the hand, nobody tapped the feet, and they did not pay attention. They walked away. Then these people start thinking, maybe they don't like the happy music. Let me put a sad music. So they put the sad music, and nobody cried. And nobody paid attention to the music. So in short, what he's trying to say, when he gave this example, then he's putting towards John the Baptist and himself. So he said, now just think that John the Baptist came and he didn't eat anything. He didn't drink any ordinary food and ordinary drink. He stayed in the wilderness, and they start saying he has a demon. And then I came, just like a first music, now the second music. Now then I came and I start preaching the gospel, eating with the sinners, preaching with the sinners, bringing them to the Lord, and these people start saying, you know who I am? He says, behold a man gluttonous, because he's eating, he was not gluttonous. If he was gluttonous, he won't be able to walk on the street. But these people label Jesus Christ, because he's going in the sinner's place and eating with them, he's a gluttonous. He is the wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus Christ did not drink wine. Many people want to label him like these people are saying. Why? Because if you read in the book of Proverbs, the wine is prohibited. He says, don't look at the wine, even though it is red. And if you drink, it's prohibited. Now, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to break the law. He said, I came to fulfill the law. When you drink, you are a sinner or you are a bad person. Do you think Jesus Christ will do that? No. So he went to the parties. He might have drank the grape juice, and he might have drank the orange juice. He might be drank some other fruit juice and ate with them. And he was not the friend of the sinners. If you are, say, friend of the sinners, means you became like them. Then you be like equal to them. But he said, I came to teach these sinners repentance. So he said, I didn't come to you. If you are righteous, I didn't come for you. The sick people need the doctor the same way the sinners need the Savior. So I came here to call the sinners to repentance. So here they're labeling him, you are a gluttony, you are a wine drinker, you are a friend of sinners. And so he's saying, the verse 19, but the wisdom is justified of her children. Now somebody says, I don't understand what he's trying to say. But the wisdom is justified of her children. What he's trying to say, first of all, he said, if you remember, if you have ear, then let him hear. Now he's saying, let me tell you the meaning of this. What is happening? These people, all sinners, they are blaming me as I am a sinner, and they are sinners. And so they are justifying themselves. They are good people, and they are saying, I'm a bad person. He says, only people will know I'm a good or bad. How do you know? When you are born again. If you are not born again, Jesus Christ is just the ordinary man. You will not have any feelings for him. You will not have any respect for him. You would not think he is God. But once you are born again, then you know Jesus is the Son of God. He is God himself. And that's what is happened. So here he's saying, but the wisdom is justified. Wisdom is justified means wisdom, you came to know this is the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? Sending his son to save us. That's the wisdom of God. God is wiser than anybody else. This is the plan of salvation made by God. He's a wise God. Why he has to shed the blood? Somebody say he could have shed the tears and man would have got saved. No. God purposely said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no cleansing. Without the blood, there is no life. So Jesus shed the blood so we can have life. So how can we know we have to be born again? We have to be children of God. Then God gives his wisdom to us so we can know the truth. Read the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Who made us? God made us the wisdom of God and the righteousness of God and the sanctification of God. Who did it? God did it. How he did it? Through Christ he did it. If you don't have Christ, you cannot have wisdom, you cannot have redemption, you cannot have sanctification, you cannot get saved. So our God is a wise God. Go to the Jude and read verse 25.
To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Who is wise? The only wise God, our Savior. So God is wiser. His Son is wise. And when we start loving Jesus and winning souls, we are wise. And so then we will justify that God has the wisdom to save mankind, and he is the redeemer of mankind, and there is none like him. That's what he said. But the wisdom is justified of her children. We are the children of God, and we are the only one can testify and justify to the whole world that our God is a holy God. He is the only wise God, and Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, we get the wisdom, we get the power, and we are the children of God. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 11, starting from verse 20.
Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day.
Here Jesus Christ was a little bit angry at this Chorazin, Capernaum, because here he traveled. Some people even said the Capernaum was the Christ headquarters. So they would go everywhere and come back to Capernaum. So Capernaum and all other cities, they were seeing all kinds of miracles of Jesus Christ. Jesus did signs and wonders and miracles. And he gave the name of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon, they were also very poor cities and very wealthy cities, but they were also sinful cities. Isaiah says about this Tyre and Sidon in Isaiah 23, and Ezekiel says in chapter 26, and Ezekiel 27. And the prophecies are given, those cities will be ruined. It's happened accordingly. So the Jesus Christ took that example and took the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those cities are not there. He says, if those cities had the chance to listen to the message of Jesus Christ and they would have heard the gospel, he says, Sodom should be still alive. But you people will have tough time than Sodom and Gomorrah. That doesn't mean Sodom and Gomorrah and Tyre and Sidon will be forgiven. They will be punished, but there will be a greater punishment for the people who heard the gospel and did not repent. Once somebody is born again, listen to the word of God, following Christ, and then turns around, that person will have more punishment than the people never heard it. Now the somebody says, in that case, I should not be hearing the gospel. No, each and every person is born into this world. They are all sinners. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means everybody is a sinner. The word of God says in the book of Romans chapter 2, if you read, it says the judgment will be given different ways. The person who did not hear the gospel, but they have their own conscience. So their conscience will make them guilty. For example, the person, real person, would know who is his father, who is his mother, who is his sister, who is his wife, and they will work accordingly. And so that's what he's saying. You don't have to have Jesus Christ to preaching to those people. So according to conscience, not a single person lived according to conscience. So that before Jesus Christ, even the law was given, the word of God says, but the law was not able to save them, but make them guilty. And that's why the grace came. And so when the person who heard the law, they will be judged according to the law. And the people who heard the gospel, they will be judged according to the gospel. Now, these things is written in book of Romans chapter 2. We don't have time to go there, but if you want to go, you can read. But here is saying, law was given to these people. They are going to judge according to the law. But the people who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are much more guilty than the people were under the law or the people under the conscience. Go to the 2 Peter chapter 2, and start reading from verse 20.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
These people came to Jesus Christ, escaped the pollution of the world, means they were sinners. Now they don't want to be polluted in this world, so they repented, they followed Jesus Christ, and they make Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But what happened? They again entangle in their sin again. What happened? Their stage will be worse than before. Because they were in the world, they gave up the world, they followed the Christ, they received Jesus Christ, and then they changed their mind, and they want to go back to the world. See what happens? Read the verse 21.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
See, here is saying it was better for those people not to come to Christ, not to listen to Jesus Christ, not to be born again, not to be getting saved. It will be better for them. And somebody says, oh, that means we should not be Christians. No, he said they will be going to hell anyhow, but they will have a lesser punishment. just like here, 100 degrees heat, here might be 500 degrees, here might be 5,000 degrees. So there are different kinds of punishment. So they will not go to heaven, they will go to hell, but knowing the Christ and then you go back to the world, your punishment is worse. Okay, please read verse 22.
But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Now, this is what happens if the person is backslidden. And if somebody doesn't believe, you have to show this scripture. It's in the Bible that people can be backslidden and they go back to the world and live the exact life they were living before. So they cannot go to heaven, but they will go to hell because the word of God says it was better for them not to knowing the word of God. And now they are going back, so they will be having more punishment. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 11 and start reading from verse 25.
At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
Now see here two scriptures. In the verse 25, it says, he's talking to God. He says, Father, you have revealed these things to the children. He's not talking about the ordinary children, born again children. He says the wise people like Sadducees and Pharisees, they thought they are wise, they know the Bible, they know the scriptures, but you did not reveal your secret to those people, but you revealed to the children. When Jesus, he says, reveal unto babes. Babes means not like a babes who is sucking the, what you call, pacifier. Babes means you are babies in the Christ. If you read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, the disciples came to Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was saying the parables. They didn't understand what Jesus said.
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
So the mystery of the kingdom of God is given to the children of God. And we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he has given us the wisdom. And if you read from verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27.
But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
So God has chosen us. And he has revealed us his will. And so now we know more about the kingdom of God. But Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Truth is Jesus Christ. We received Jesus Christ, and our spiritual eyes open. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, and he's saying, Lord, open their spiritual eyes. He's praying. And God has actually opened the spiritual eyes. Please read 18, okay?
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
Now, when you read 17, read the word 17.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
And that your spiritual eyes will open and you'll understand much more godly thing. The word of God says if you do not have good, if you don't have good memory, you need a wisdom, you need the knowledge, then what? James chapter 1, verse 5 or 6, what he says? Ask, and God will give. Please read.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, so, and it shall be given him.
If you want the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, what do? Ask God. He will give you liberally. He wants to give it to you, everything. And so the word of God is saying, God has revealed us everything about the kingdom of God, everything about Jesus Christ, everything about the Father, but the world doesn't know anything about spiritual matters. Go back to the Matthew, start reading from verse 26.
Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight.
To keep this secret from the wise people, but giving to the children of God and revealing them the wisdom of God. That was God's doing, he's saying. Read verse 27.
All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
Father has given me everything. That means even the whole heaven and earth and everything what you see and what you don't see is belong to Christ. How do you know? Because he says, Father has given me all things. But he says, nobody knows the Father, only Son knows. And nobody knows the Son, but only Father knows. Now somebody says, we don't know the Father, and we don't know the Son. So then somebody has to introduce the Son to the mankind, and somebody has to introduce Father to the mankind, right? So Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, please read. When Jesus Christ came into this world, Father testified about his Son.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Now here the voice came from heaven and telling the whole world, this is Jesus Christ is my Son. He is my beloved Son and in whom I am well pleased. Now, the Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, here he's telling to Peter, James, and John, Jesus Christ is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You better listen to him. Please read. Because what happened, Peter got mixed up, and he started thinking, Moses and Elijah and Jesus should be staying in this mountain, and we will be safe here. And so Peter was making Jesus equal unto Moses and equal unto Elijah. Father says, no, listen to Jesus, go ahead.
While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him.
You listen to him. That means not listen to Moses. Moses already said, the God will send the prophet just like me, and you will listen to him. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 to 19. So here he's saying, I'm going to send a prophet just like Moses, and you will hear him. And this is the time not to look for Moses, hear my Son. And so in this scripture, he says, Father talks about his sons. Father reveals his sons to the world. And what the Son is doing, read St. John chapter 1, verse 18.
No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
Here he's saying, no one knew who God was. The Jesus Christ who was in the bosom of the Father, he came into this world and starts showing people who Father is.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.